worship team another round of applause. Wonderful job. My name is Wes, for those who might not know me today. I want you to know that I love you with a deep affection. God loves you even more. God loves you perfectly, wholly. He's rooting for you today. Our Father is not at... Okay. Good. He is not rooting against you. He is for you. He cares for you. He cares about your entire life. As we go to the Lord in prayer for this time in the Word, I want you to know a few things. This is God's love letter to you. He cares for you deeply, and He wants you to come out of today a little bit more stronger, a little bit more joyful than you were before you walked in here today. He cares for you. So let's pray that your hearts are open and the Holy Spirit makes sense of His Word today. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you. Praise you. Thank you for your Word that illuminates, directs, points, instructs, rebukes. Thank you for your nature inside us through the Holy Spirit who's going to teach us today. Holy Spirit, do something powerful. Do something life-changing today with your Word. God, we thank you that you don't give up on us. We thank you that you give us victory. And Father, as we look at a victorious faith today, we pray in the name of Christ that you would just strengthen us. And Father, for all those who are feeling defeated, do a mighty work today and let them see that Christ is the victory and our faith in Him gives us victory. Father, we love you and we give you thanks. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're on the last sermon of our First John series. It's been a good book, a warm book. It's kind of deceptive. It's written real simple. He wrote it very simply, but it's a very complex book. It's simple language for hard concepts, and this one's no different. Let's read it. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory. Circle that word, underline it if you're taking notes, write it down. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? The answer: only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, our big victory comes at a point of death. Now, I've done a lot of funerals in my time. It's 20 years. Sometimes monthly, even biweekly at times, there are funerals to be done within the body that we have here and even outside the body. At the graveside, I always try to read a certain scripture because it is a segue to the greatest victory that we can experience. And it goes like this: where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Now, we need to remember that because death seems final. Death is always looming over us. It seems like it always wins. But for those who believe in Christ Jesus, this is a taunting verse towards death. If Christ is real, his victory is real, even at the graveside. We have victory. We can have joy. And that's kind of like the championship. That is the big dance. That is something that we need to make sure. Life has many ups and downs, but as we pass into the immortal, we want to make sure that we have this down. Even at this church, it's hard to talk about. It seems awkward at times, but we want to even die different than the world. We, this year, have been just, cancer has wreaked havoc on our body. And then you try to look for the good, even the victory in that as people face death. I can tell you something from sitting by many bedsides of Christians and non-believers. There is a tremendous difference. There is, you will see that when Elsa Croucher passed with cancer, that there was no fear in her. There was pain, there was disappointment, but it was different. I've also been beside the bedside of unbelievers who had no hope after death, and that funeral planning, what needs to be said, is completely different. The nerves, the anxiety that comes into that is hard, it's harsh, and there's a reality. So we have this huge victory to be won, and even death, even the finality of the funeral does not claim us as Christian. Where, O death, is your victory? It's not to be found in the Christian's death. But thanks be to God, the Bible goes on to say this, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the big victory. But there are thousands of small moments leading up to this, and that's primarily what the sermon is going to address today. You can experience victory today in your faith. And actually, your faith, our faith, is the victory. How does this work out? You know, as a parent, you have millions of moments to experience victory or doubt. Our boys are very different. And Miles, he's hard to discipline because he's so funny. Now, a lot of you might not find funny what I find funny, so this might not work for. But it's hard for me to discipline him at times because I'm cracking up at what he's doing that is bad. And then he taunts me why I am disciplining. And sometimes his taunts are really funny, okay? So Elliot the other night was trying to prepare for something. I'm going to tell you another story here in a minute. And he was just sitting in bed going, Elliot, bet you can't go to sleep. Elliot, poking underneath the bunk bed, just doing that. And when I go to discipline him, he's like, Daddy, I love your belly. Your belly is so beautiful. He body shames me on a weekly basis. And then I'll be like, you stop that right now. Stop that right now. And then he does this little thing like, I don't know, he's like looking through his eyes, he's like pinching my head. Stop that right now. And no matter what I do to him, I cannot corral him. I mean, sometimes it's defeat. Like, I get nuclear on him. Like, okay, no video games for 14 days. You're not going to eat lunch tomorrow. I mean, I'll pull out any. I just threaten him, like, whatever I got. Like, your mother's not going to hug you for the rest of your life, you know, whatever. And he knows I'm just teasing, you know. But he is hard to discipline him. It's hard to have patience in those moments when your child is taunting you and doing that. Now, Elliot understands small wins for the big victory, and that's what we're talking about today is the victory. The key to our victory is our faith. Now, it's preparation. It's a bunch of small things that lead to a bigger victory. Now, this has not been in the Duff family tree ever. Elliot is unique in this. The Duffs on my side to my family, we don't plan ahead for a whole lot. You know, kind of just take life as it goes. Now, Elliot had his MAP test this past week for tests. So they score him at the beginning of the year, the middle, and the end to see how well they are doing in school. So Elliot comes in last Sunday. He's like, guys, got a test on Wednesday. So Mom, I'm going to need a good breakfast on Wednesday morning. And he ordered his breakfast. And he said, on Tuesday night, I'm going to have to get to sleep at a reasonable time. So I think I need to go to bed at 7:30. And I'm sitting there with this kid like, I didn't learn this till I was 35, you know? And he prepares and he prepares and he's getting ready. And man, he went to school, killed it. He got the best score in his whole grade for his test. And he prepared it like, we didn't teach this to him. He just said, I'm ready, clothes laid out, getting to bed early. I need my breakfast. And then I said, why do you want to do this? He said, because I get to eat lunch with Principal Edwards. I get a rocket. He just named off five things that he really wanted. And he got all these stickers and awards and candy bars. And he came home. He said, I annihilated it. And this is like, watch this. Like, but he prepared. He had a lot of small victories. The preparing for bed and the doing the test, so he could experience that final victory that comes when he places faith in his own ability. And the same is for us as Christians. There are a lot of small things that we have to do that give us assurance, that give us victory to prepare us for that big, ominous victory that we're all kind of afraid of. It's out there in the dark, something called death and passing into life. So today, We're going to talk about the key to our victory, and it's our faith. But we're going to break it down in small steps so that you can experience victory now. It goes like this. A lot of you, I know, are so discouraged with your faith. You don't know what to do, where to study, where to go. And then how do you judge yourself? How am I doing? It's hard, right? It's hard to talk about a God you cannot see. How do we relate to him? How are we experiencing this assurance and this victory? So we're just going to break this down. One of my, he's not my favorite coach, but he's one of my favorite coaches on how he runs his team, and that's Nick Saban. And he has a saying over and over, trust the process. He does not allow his team to talk about the championship. He does not allow them during the year to talk about winning the SEC, the conference. He does not allow that talk to the championship. You know what he tells them all the time? Practice hard. If you practice hard, you might win one game. If you win one game, you might win two games. And who knows, you might be at the end of the season 9-1 or 10-1 and have a chance to play for the SEC championship. If you travel well, you eat well, if you do what your coaches say, then you can be invited in. And who knows, you might make it to the championship. And they are forceful about trusting the process. Now, he's so weird about this process. I saw him one time in an interview after the championship game. They were interviewing him and they asked him, Coach, you don't celebrate tomorrow? I'm going to take a day off maybe, but I got to start recruiting tomorrow. And just because we win this championship doesn't mean we're going to win next year's championship. I'm like, man, he's a cyborg. He's a machine. And he just wants them to experience good practice, good nutrition, all these other things. And it gives them assurance. If I practice well, then I will play well. If I trust in the coach, if I trust in the playbook, we might be victorious at the end of the year. And so I want you to trust this process. Okay? So in trusting the process, point one to the victory being our faith is this. Let's relook at verse one. Everyone who believes that Jesus Christ is born of God and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Let me say it again. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. So the first point is to trust the coach. We have to learn to trust our coach, and our coach is Christ. Our coach came and had a completely game plan. Now, when Kyle was doing sports, him and I had a very hard relationship because I tend to overdo things in all areas of my life, and he played football. He was doing okay, but he was tall. He said, I want to learn to play basketball, but there's a problem when he bounced the ball and hit him in the face. You know, he's just like, he wasn't very coordinated as his body grew. So we set out for 2 or 3 years to learn how to play basketball. We started with the jump shot and all this, and we were just getting into it. Then Jake was making jokes the whole time, like, hey, Coach Daddy, won't you chill out? You know, and kind of played overkill in the situation. I was like being too intense about it, like, you're going to shoot 300 free throws a night. And when he wouldn't want to do it, I'm like, you don't want to play. You know, it was just this hard relationship. Christ is much more graceful, and we need to learn to trust the coach. Now listen, victory is not something God just hands to us, but rather it's a relationship. It's a person. Our victory is in Jesus. Our victory comes in the relationship with Christ. What we do will outflow from that relationship. When Jesus is Lord of our lives, then we are able to live in and move in his victory in our lives. So developing our faith, which is the key to victory, is all about growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now there are obstacles. We know there are storms that we encounter in life that we need to overcome, that we need victory on. They are overcome by faith, by trusting in Christ. The victory that we have in Jesus is what empowers us with grace to persevere all that stands before us. The faith, our relationship with Jesus, is our victory. We have to learn to trust. How does a coach earn trust? They first have to tell the truth all the time. I want to tell you here today that you can trust Jesus Christ and his word. He will never lead you astray. Let God be the truth and every man a liar. Christ Jesus has never told a lie. Another way a coach you can gain trust is by being reliable, being consistent, showing up on time. And you know, as a parent, you have to be there consistently. and we can trust Christ. He's always reliable. God never sleeps nor slumbers. He's not ever wore out. He's never discouraged. He's never surprised by what's going on in your life. And Christ, when you decide to pray, guess who will be there? Christ Jesus himself. And as we learn to trust him, we see these miracles that happen. The first thing that this text says is that everyone that has been born of God, everyone who places their faith in Jesus Christ has been born of God. It says is, but it's really something past tense. So there's something that happens in the believer's life. It's called new birth. And we talk about this all the time. What is the new birth? It's new life. The Bible describes it many different ways. We see it in the book of Jeremiah, chapters 31 through 34. It says, you have this heart of stone, and now he's going to give you a heart of clay. He's going to make your heart moldable. He tells the old man Nicodemus that he must actually be born again in John chapter 3. We see that it's this abiding love that happens with him, that God actually does this new work in us, a new creation, a new life. It's basically when God takes what is dead. Ephesians 2 chapter 1 says, you were dead in your transgressions, which means that in order for the new birth to happen, that you were just spiritually dead. You were inactive. You were blind. You could not see. The heart was full of stone. And God comes along and does something. He gives you new sight. He gives you a new heart. And now you can start to truly live. It's like Lazarus was in the tomb. Jesus says, come forth, Lazarus. And this man with no ability in and of himself was awakened to this new birth. And can you imagine Lazarus coming out of the tomb for the first time? Or what about the blind man who was on the road, who was completely blind? And now he stands, Jesus touches him, heals him, and prays over him. And now this man can see all this mesmerizing beauty that's in the team. That is us when God calls us. When he calls your name, when he says, you who were dead in transgressions, children of wrath, rebellious people, I've called your name, and now I'm going to awake you to the glories and reality of my kingdom. This is what our coach does for us. He recruits you. He brings you into his family. He houses you, feeds you. He puts his nature inside of you. He adopts you, and he gives you this union. Now you are connected to his life source, and all kinds of beauty starts to emerge out of your life called love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness. All this starts to emerge because now you're connected to the power source, and you have a new life. We were once blind. But now our eyes are open to the mesmerizing beauty of the grace of our Lord. His forgiveness, his patience, his kindness towards us. It was his kindness that led us towards repentance. We're also, out of this new birth, once he calls you, he gives us faith. Faith is a gift from God. Faith is given once we are born again, once we have that new heart or that new sight. And this faith is kind of a weird thing. I even think faith in our culture is kind of a weird word. It's a tad mystic. Like it's just something that we believe that's out there. A better word, I think, in our culture that we would understand is a word called trust. After the new birth, we would have trust in Christ, that we would give our lives to him, that we could practically see the outflowing, how he gives us victory. And it's a weird. Do you realize how weird, how unusual the Christian faith is? I mean, have you thought about this story? A little boy grew up. He never did anything wrong. He was born of a virgin. He was crucified by the Romans, was laid in the grave, came back to life 3 days later, appeared to 500 people, and the rest of the apostles. And if we believe in that story, that testimony, we have eternal life. We go to a place where the streets flow with gold. Can you see why somebody would be a skeptic or start on the outside? Like, is this true? Are these just a bunch of crazy people gathered today singing in a room to a God they can't see? Don't tell me that hadn't kept you up at night before. Have you ever wondered, is this true? Do I have the victory? And the Bible tells us, to the Jews, this is a stumbling block. To the Greeks, this is foolishness. It's even described, I believe, in Corinthians as like something that smells like death, but to others, it's the gift of life. And our foolish story, which it is a foolish story, It is a crazy story hidden in humility in some backwaters called Nazareth that saves us and gives us hope. But when God awakens you to that truth through the new birth and gives you faith to see, Jesus Christ becomes the pearl of this earth. He becomes the most important thing in your life. And that relationship with him will lead to victory. Why is our faith the victory? Faith is not just how we receive from God. Faith is actually the evidence that we have what God has already provided for us in Christ. When we allow God to establish his word and truth in our heart, faith emerges. Faith is the evidence that he has done and provided all that we had hoped for. How many of you want to live forever? Then what we have to do is we look for that big assurance. As we face death, we need to have lots of small assurances on the way. So how do we do that? Let's look at verse 2 and 3 again. We need to trust the playbook. We have a great coach. We need to trust this playbook. Verse 2 and 3. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. Okay. So yesterday I went fishing for the first all day long trip, all right? Got my grass cut, family was taken care of, and I had the morning to go fishing. And I just bought a kayak. I had the canoe, but it's a little heavy to carry by myself. So I got a kayak. Now, remember how I told you I overdo everything? I've probably already watched 50 hours of videos on how to best outrig this kayak for the proper fishing experience. And one of the things you have to do is learn how to put your anchor. It is dangerous to be on a river and to anchor it in the current. If something happens, it can pull you in fast. So this guy had this extension cord thing and a carabiner, and if you ever got in trouble, you could just unhook it and throw it, and it even had a float on the carabiner so that it you could basically go back and get it and you wouldn't lose your $40 anchor, okay? So these experts, they provide many great tips. They provide you with the best way to do this so you don't spend too much money in doing it, and it provides a quality experience on a river. And something happened that allowed me to catch fish on the river that day that was based off yesterday's advice. It's that you put the anchor on the front, it throws you into the current, you get behind the eddy, you throw your bait into the current, let it drift naturally so it looks like a dead fish in a current, and it'll strike. Second cast, boom, got a small mouth. I was like, thank you, YouTube. You know, felt like a professional on the water. I was pretty proud of myself. I was out there like, yes, you know. God, thank you for this advice. Our Bible is no different. It's an expert opinion on how we achieve victory, okay? It has the details for you to get to the immortal place in your life. It also has daily victory, and we have to learn to trust the system. How do you know that you are born again? How do you know that you have faith and that you can have assurance that you are on your way to this victory? It tells us, it says, his burden, his commandments are not burdensome. You see, religion is fighting through. Religion is trying to earn your way and perform, and it's just, Christianity is not another religion. It's the only faith on earth which professes grace. Every other faith will tell you what you need to do in order to earn. This is grace. This is a Father adopting and loving and giving you a spirit. This is a Christ who comes to fight for you. And he has a playbook. And we know that Christianity, we can have victory if you start to look at the commandments and say, Father, thank you for your goodness towards me. Jesus says, my burden is light and my yoke is easy. If he tells you not to lie and you look at that commandment like, ah, I love to lie. What does he know? I just want to keep lying. When he talks about sexual impurity and that seems like a drag, if that seems like a burden, friend, we got to go back to the beginning and say, God, give me a new heart. Give me eyes to see. Soften my heart. And even in the most extreme cases, God, maybe I need to get saved. Maybe I do need a relationship with you. Maybe I've been doing this all wrong. And God wants to give us this personal assurance. And you start to see the wisdom of God and his commandments that are also strange to the world. They are your delight. The new heart, the eyes to see, takes these commandments and say, God, thank you for these beautiful words of encouragement. Thank you for rebuking me. Thank you for disciplining me. Thank you that I was once dark and I know I still have that old nature in me. Thank you for your warnings. Thank you for the tips on marriage. Thank you for everything that you give me. Point three. Again, victory is yours today, and a championship is coming. Verse 4 and 5. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, I love Championship Day. Don't you love when the confetti drops and all the football players are out there celebrating? You know, it's just like, I love when the anthem is played and there's someone from America, they've won the gold and they're crying, they tell their whole story. But you know, there's a lot that happens before that confetti drops or before the anthem is played. There's a lot. My favorite championship is when we beat Alabama. And I love seeing Nikki. I love the one of the blogs on High State calls him Nikki Satan, which I think is pretty funny. And he was all just emotional. Then we crushed Oregon and we won. That was great. I love seeing our people, our flag, celebrating. And I love that Michigan just was nowhere in the picture like 9-3. That was even better. And here's the thing. As you understand victory, here's what I'm not saying today. This is not another sermon for you to gear up and pull up your bootstraps and be a better Christian and fail by Friday. Christ has given you the victory. Colossians 2:15 says this, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. He came as a lamb, he's coming back as a lion. But on that cross, when he chose to show forgiveness and humility, when he chose the suffering, when he endured the shame, friend, that was all for us. And our conquering king who came as a lamb is coming back as a lion. But as he made a public spectacle of all that was bad and ugly and harmful to the world, he conquered death. And that victory is now translated into our victory. We access it through our faith, which gives us victory. We need to experience this victory today, though. It's not just at the graveside. Each interaction is a chance to experience this victory. And because he died for us, because he is our hope, he is our joy, he's our self-esteem, he is our righteousness, friend, you don't have to defend yourself any longer. It's not about what other people think of you. Some of you are living in bondage because of someone else's opinion. And the last time I checked, the foot of the cross is equal for all men, rich or poor. Whatever gender you are, whatever ethnic background you have, no matter what family you come from, we are all sinners saved by grace. Do not let someone else take away your victory. Your self-esteem, rest in Christ. It's not about your accomplishments or your performance. As I led in the Mother's Day thinking about women, I thought about this last week too. Ladies, it's not just Mother's Day, it's Ladies' Day. And fertility is a precious private subject that makes us, we all react different to it in the joys and in the hardships. But I want you to know as a daughter of Christ this morning that your self-esteem does not It's not based on your fertility. It's not based on how good of a wife you are or how perfect you looked on the outside. Your Christ loves you and died for you, and you're beautiful just the way you are and who you are in Christ. And there is nothing to fear. And your self-esteem should not come from men or the world or even your husband. Christ loves you and he gives you self-esteem. You do not have to be alarmed. Some of you are letting your victory be stolen from the enemy because of trials, because of something might happen. People that have anxiety, there's not even a real trial currently going on. You're thinking about what might happen tomorrow. I want you to know, as Judas betrayed Jesus, it didn't change his day. As he betrayed him with a kiss, he was not alarmed. At the Last Supper, Jesus says, go do what you've come to do. You see, when we trust in Christ and we're walking in that victory, the outside world has no play on us. And even if they win a short-term victory, we win the long game through our attitude. And it helps us. You can love people freely when you've been set free. You can be generous with your time, your relationship, and your resources because you are no longer defined by those things. And what has been freely given to you in the gospel now gives you the platform to lead a victorious life. But little wins, they turn into the big win. I remember when LeBron James won the championship a few years ago. He's always really professional on his after the game reports, right? I like to thank my coach. I like to thank God. I like to, you know, it's all about the team. I'm glad my teammates were here. And he was about to lose game 7 one time. And before the game, he's like, I've already proved myself as a player. I practice. I work hard. He won the championship. Guy lost his mind. Go Cleveland! And he just like jumped on. Just like, yeah! It was the pressure that built up in him that he has to stay focused or he will lose it. Guys, listen. It's a lot of little wins that lead up to the big win. Now here, listen, husbands, choosing not to give in to anger today, choosing not to be critical with your spouse or your children, to have a joyful attitude at work tomorrow is a little win that gives you victory and assurance for the big win. Choosing to be patient with people, rooting for people, turns into fruitful relationships that are beautiful. Choosing to sit in your spot all week this week. Choosing to find a place where you can connect with God in the Word and through prayer this week. Sometimes doing Bible study is boring. Sometimes it feels like nothing happens. But over a long period of time of connecting with God and praying and hearing His truth and it being a filter to wash the world out of you, friends, there will come a time when the storm comes. And you will have stored energy. You will be prepared and ready to fight off the enemy, to respond correctly in love and in patience and kindness. But friend, if you choose not to be victorious this week and ignore the Word and not to pray, not to take advantage of the small wins, the trial will come. Guess what will happen with your response? You're going to lose your top. You're going to be punching the steering wheel. You're going to be snapping at your children. You're going to be playing a blame game with your spouse. You're going to be unjoyful at work. Friends, if we don't soak it in, if we don't take it in, it was sitting in our spot daily gives us the victory year after year. So let's apply this. One, today, put your trust in Christ. He is your victory. He is your hope. If you don't know Christ today, put your trust in Him. Call upon Him to save you. The Bible says He will not disappoint you. Two, we need to trust the playbook. We need to learn it and practice it. Study your Bible. Know your doctrine. Knowing doctrine, knowing the truth of God's Word is not for dead theologians. It's not for pastors. It's for everybody. When the church goes dark, it's when a common person does not know the Word of God or does not have access to it. When everybody knows His Word, knows it for themselves, light emerges within the body and ministry is fruitful. Learn it, know it. Make it your top priority. Live it out by practice. Three, as you experience victory, I want you to hear this. God is a God of do-overs, starting over. I want you to forget the past. Isn't grace beautiful? You've all messed up, said things you regret, done things that you shouldn't have done. In the cross of Christ, He has hidden us. And our guilt is gone. Our shame is gone. Because by His stripes, we were healed. And I want you to forget your past. I don't want you to carry this backpack of the past. Our victory is by saying, God, thank you for giving me peace with my past and peace with you. The grace completely covers me, that I could have a brand new day, that His mercies are new every day, and quit keeping a checklist on yourself or other people. Aren't those people annoying who remember everything you've ever done wrong? Would you like to flick them in the eye every once in a while? Just joking. Love keeps no record of wrongs. When God looks at you, He sees the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. And He doesn't want you to think about your past and your failures. if you were perfect in your past, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. He wouldn't have sent his son willingly to die on a cross if he wasn't willing to forgive you of your past. And when the enemy reminds you of what you've done and he accuses you, remind him of his future and remind him of your future. God wants to save you and he wants you to win. And lastly, keep your eye on the prize. How do we overcome the world? It's in small victories every day leading up to the big victory. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Clearly define your life goal. Is Christ supreme? Is he the glorious one of heaven? Are all his promises true? If his Bible is true and the claims of Jesus are true, he must be first. He must be primary. He must be your treasure. There cannot be one foot in and one foot out. You cannot be lukewarm. You cannot come to him with half-hearted excuse. He wants the whole heart. He wants everything. He wants your life. Why? Because he wants to give you victory. And victory is only achieved when we place our faith in Christ. And friends, we can overcome the world by daily winning in him, by trusting in the victory that he has provided. Christ wants you to have a triumphant life that stands above the world, that looks at the world only to redeem it, to love it, but not to be taken down by it. Friends, we have the victory in Christ because he loves us. Do not leave here today defeated. Put your trust in him. Learn this playbook and start winning with the small things. Let's pray. God, we thank you for who you are and what you do in our lives. We thank you for these children that were dedicated today. Father, may we be faithful to tell them about the victory that's achieved in you. Thank you for singing songs, that we could sing songs to you today in praise of the victory you have given us. Father, thankful that we have a community of believers that we can have this victory. But Father, today we acutely pray for those who feel defeated. And Father, we pray that you would give them a fresh word, a fresh faith, that you would give them the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will unlock their eyes and they will see your beauty, your glory, the hope that you have given them. And Father, that they will trust you, that they will trust your word, and that they would today to choose the way of victory. God, thank you for laying it out so beautifully, so clear to us. Thank you for saving us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Let's stand and respond. The altars are open.